Hello, I'm Trevor Dan. This is the weekly podcast from Radio Today, which on this occasion is devoted to television, local television, which in some circles is seen as a threat to local radio, both commercial and BBC, and in others is derided as an irrelevance, a vanity project conceived by Jeremy Hunt when he was at the DCMS. Well, now the dust has settled a bit, I've been to see one of the few local TV stations that launched on time and seems to be thriving. Notts TV is run by Jamie Brindle, a former producer and Sony winner from BBC Radio Nottingham. One of his main hosts is Francis Finn, who manages to work for both BBC Nottingham and Notts TV. They're both in this show, along with the usual news and radio moments.
The Radio Today programme, with Broadcast Bionics, creators of Phonebox and Oasis. Welcome to the Social Studio.
So we're here in one of the studios of Notts TV. Jamie Brindle is here. Jamie, how many studios have you got? Because you're on two sites, aren't you?
We're on two sites, which is good for the thighs. And good for spotting ideas as you're parading the city centre. Two studios at the moment, good size, as both versatile spaces with green screens and pretty up-to-date galleries. And we're looking at a third, which is being kitted out at the minute. So,
and explain how it's funded. What companies comprise this consortium that runs it?
Well, the principal funding is from the ownership of the company, which is pretty much Nottingham Trent University and a company called Confetti Media Group. And the owner of that in particular. There's a third shareholder in the form of Nigel Dacre, the ex-boss of ITN. So really, it's those three owners of the channel that have invested a lot of cash, infrastructure, use of their resources, studios, facilities. There's also a big commercial arm to the channel. We sell adverts and sponsorships, and that's something which we've done since before launch, and we've been increasing our figures ever since.
So who do you think of as your competition? Is it local radio, BBC or commercial? Is it other television stations? Is it the internet? What comprises that?
I think it's a really interesting question. I think the answer will be very different depending on where you are. And I think in Notts, the competition is probably much, much smaller than it ever has been, because I think significantly really good local radio stations are no more. You know, people will know Trent FM is now a regional version of Capital, so it just doesn't have that localness. There's never been a local TV comparable in this area, so you can't compare like for like exactly. And I think if you look at something like BBC Radio Nottingham, the most successful local broadcast, you could say today, its focus is at breakfast and our focus is in TV peak. So it is really hard to coin a rival. And I think what I would say is, you know, you can be a consumer of Radio Nottingham and the Nottingham Post and various websites and East Midlands Today and all the rest of it. Be a Notts TV viewer and us all be successful, us all share that audience.
And when you look at your evening peak programming, what are you going to see?
Well, the thing I'm really keen to stress is Notts TV is a full channel. It's not just about news. It's not just about one particular genre. It's got to look like, because effectively it is sandwiched in between the biggest networks on the EPG. You know, you go on Channel 8 on Freeview, you're next to ITV and BBC. So when you're channel hopping, Notts TV needs to look like a credible mainstream alternative. So you will see news and feature elements. You'll see history, comedy, you'll see sport. You'll see everything that you'd expect to see on a typical channel, and we hope to program it sensibly so that, you know, you would see the kind of stuff you'd expect to see at certain times. We're replicating, I think, what's been proven to work on TV.
One of the most interesting things you do, I think, is you take the Sam and Amy breakfast show, don't you, from one of the local commercial stations, from Gem, and you run that with cameras in their studio?
It was my idea. I'm a really big fan of Sam and Amy's show. They've been very successful in terms of their audience and the Radio Academy, back-to-back awards, I believe. But they look great. So the idea was, how can we get them to get their show sort of to give that televisual element to it? And, you know, resources aren't massive. We wanted to try this out at first and see how it worked with a fairly basic setup. So thanks to technology, there are, I think, 4 or 5 cameras in their studio that are operated completely remotely. When someone speaks, the camera will switch to them. There's some technology that allows it to pan around the room when no one's speaking or when there's music playing. So it's a completely automated setup and fairly efficient in terms of cost.
So you're not playing videos. The cameras are just spinning around the studio while the tunes are playing.
Yeah, the cameras are effectively on the presenters. So interestingly, you get to see them when they're speaking, but you also get to see them when there's a tune playing and they're doing what they do. So it's that kind of magic of radio, which you would never normally get to see. If you're a fan of the personalities, if you love Sam and Amy, then you're going to want to see them mucking around in the record, and you know, all the stuff that they've always been doing on the radio, you can now see and enjoy. I think the idea for me was you could be getting ready for work, putting the kids' breakfast on the table and watching Sam and Amy, get into the car, put it on as you normally would and listen to it, and it's extending your listenership of that show and also giving Notts TV a viewer.
So you formerly worked at BBC Radio Nottingham. What's the big difference, do you think, between a local radio newsroom and a local television newsroom as it's presently configured here?
I think one of the differences is still clearly resources. We are well-resourced, well-funded, and we've got a great kit, and I'm very grateful to our owners for taking that very seriously. But we're not the BBC. We don't have that infrastructure or experience. And you really notice it with things like contacts, you know, rights, libraries, all the stuff you expect and take for granted when you work for an organisation like the BBC. I think some of the practical day-to-day differences are that the sort of the tone, the atmosphere, the can-do attitude. And I think that's not at all a criticism of the BBC, but it just means here, if we want to do something, there are fewer layers through which one needs to negotiate, let's say. You don't need to ask a lot of people for permission to do something. There isn't an entrenched style guide, so we can be more creative. And if we decide we want to do something on the air, we can do it. And that's just not the same at the BBC. And I think the local environment is also quite focused towards a particular type of listener.
Well, they go for an older listener. I guess that you're demographic, you would like to be as wide as possible.
Yeah, I think it's really interesting this, because there's no doubt about it, people that are interested in local tend to be a certain age, you would argue. Our figures show that the age of our average viewer is slightly younger than the average listener to Radio Nottingham, so it's early 40s to perhaps early 50s comparably. But I think the interesting thing about our audience, there's a TV audience, there's an online audience, there's a social media audience, it's all very demonstrable through analytics, and it's really broad. So you might be a TV viewer that watches one or two programs a week at a certain age and never consume via the internet, or vice versa. And I think it's really important to remember that we're not just a TV channel, and we can't succeed if we are. We have an online platform and social media platforms which are just as important to us.
So here's the thing, it's been a rocky road, local television. Some stations haven't even got on air. Jeremy Hunt's experiment is widely derided, I think, in media circles. On the other hand, you seem to be prospering. Are you making any money?
I think there's definitely a record to set straight in terms of how local TV is doing. I mean, you know, the nature of the beast is that those negative stories are likely to come out more. I think some of our colleagues in Scotland, STV, in Brighton, Latest TV, in London, definitely, you know, there are some real successes that no one ever hears about in terms of barb viewership, in terms of commercial success. Notts TV, I can guarantee, has just enjoyed its most successful commercial month in November. And that's been an increase in the last 4 months. There's no doubt about it. It is not easy launching something like a TV channel. And I think a lot of our friends in local TV were perhaps slightly naive in terms of the amount of investment it would require to set up and establish the business. But it's no different to setting up a restaurant. You know, people know you set up a restaurant, you've got to fund it, you've got to work really hard for a year or 2 years. Why would a TV channel be any different? It was exactly the same when commercial radio started. The money didn't start rolling in from year one, year two, year three. You know, some of my colleagues would say it took much longer than that to establish that business. And yet it is still very successful, an integral part of people's lives. So, you know, I think we're doing well, and I think a lot of our collaborators are doing very well. But, you know, you don't necessarily hear about it because that's not the agenda.
And when do you think you might start actually making a profit?
Well, again, I think I'm not sure that it's the intention of our owners to make a profit. I think that, you know, NTU has got some real very strong and very honourable reasons to be in this business. I think so does Confetti. There's no doubt about it. If a profit was made, it would be reinvested into the business. And I would say it's feasible at any point. It's certainly not a long way off. But that's not the motivation of the business. I think the people that wanted to get into Notts TV wanted to do it for reasons other than making money.
Well, thank you, Jamie. We've been joined now by somebody who also knows a thing or two about local radio and local television, because you work for both, don't you, Frances Finn?
Yes, I do. And I'm not sure this is common, but the BBC kindly allowed me to keep one day a week presenting on radio as staff. And I am free, though, in the rest of the week to work for Notts TV. So it wasn't a straightforward arrangement, I have to say. But I don't see there is any direct conflict.
What's the difference then? I mean, in terms of a day's work, do you think of different audiences? Do you have different facilities, different resources?
Oh, goodness, that's a question. I think the thing I've noticed is, with television, you are such a small cog in the giant machine that is TV. And with radio, I do still very much love radio because your words are your currency, aren't you? And people are drawn into what you say. You have that very intimate relationship with the listener. With television, I try to bring that to bear, but I'm in the hands of a director who might choose not to have me in shot when I'm making my hilarious face and quip. And also, of course, it's just so much more complex to assemble and time-consuming to assemble recorded pieces of television. So I've learned a lot. I've learned how much more expensive it is to make television and how smart we need to be to make Notts TV a success. Because, you know, we haven't got the budgets of network television stations, have we? We are trying to make this a success with what we've got in a new cultural, you know, broadcasting landscape. So the challenge is making it good with not a great deal, as you know.
Here's the thing. You live here. You've lived here for a long while. People know you because of your daily show on the BBC local station. Since you started doing the telly, do more people come up to you in Asda and say, oh, saw you on the telly?
Yeah, I've always used that as a bit of a litmus test, actually. And I was not noticing it so much until when one person, like I was in, I'll say it, Birds the Bakers, that's how I roll, the other day, a buy me iced bun, and a chappie got up off the table and said, oh, I love that debate show you do. And as soon as he said that, then swarms of other people around the counter then turned and said, yes, and I like the 6:30 show and all this, that and the other. So I think people do notice you, but, you know, in Nottingham, we're very cool. I wouldn't go up to people and say, you're that Frances Finn, aren't you? So it's difficult to gauge, but yeah, a little bit of that.
Jamie was talking about your breakfast show, which is, of course, the Gem breakfast show. It's Sam and Amy, and you have cameras in the studio. How does that work, do you think, for the viewer?
Well, I don't think we can pretend that it's a TV show. It is a radio show on the telly, isn't it? But Sam and Amy have done a very good job in engaging, you know, us, the viewer, doing the odd nod to the camera, acknowledging that you are actually watching. But, you know, they are great presenters. They tell great stories, and great stories work on radio as much as they do on telly, and vice versa. So I think it's a great idea.
And what do you think, I asked you this before, you didn't quite answer it. We're talking about audience, you know, local radio's audience.
Yes.
Is, we are told, old. It's always a thing. I'm never quite sure whether that's right.
The average age is 52 of Radio Nottingham. So does that make you old?
That's a bit younger than some of them, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a little bit, I think. The sport audience, of course, brings down the average a little bit. But no, I think when we hope, obviously, that all ages are going to be watching Notts TV. But I think there is a lot of evidence to suggest that older, i.e. middle-aged people and beyond, are more connected to news locally because, you know, you feel that sense of belonging and connectedness. You consume the local news, and that is something that you grow into, I think. I certainly have, you know, as a consumer. And so I do kind of envisage a similar person when I broadcast, but it isn't, you know, it's just like local radio. It's not just older people. Of course it isn't. And we've got all kinds of different shows on Notts TV that are pitched at different demographic, you know, demographs even. Is that right? Different people.
Different
Let's call them
folks.
People.
Yeah, exactly. That'll do. You've done a lot of interviews in your time, and you took a bit of persuading to do this because you don't really like being interviewed, do you?
No, I don't.
So I'm going to ask you the big one here. Okay, you ready for this?
I'm not going to marry you.
No, right. No, that wasn't it, although we could maybe discuss that later. Local television, Francis, what's the point?
What's the point, Trevor Dan? The point is for people living in their part of Britain to see where they live on the telly, isn't it? To feel that increased sense of connectedness. And I'm a big fan of that. Again, as I'm getting longer in the tooth, I realise how important that is. It's like, I suppose it gives expression to all those connections that there are around you with where you live. It gives a face to where you live. Just like local radio for decades has given a sound to where you live. It kind of is like the glue for me that brings it all together. When you can see something, you can relate to it. And when you see people and things you recognise, I think it's like it draws it all together and crystallises it into what you think as being local. And I think that Notts TV does a very good job at making that look good, making that positive, making it ask the questions that need to be asked, making it fun. And why wouldn't you want to be part of that? You know, if you're a fan of news and of local broadcasting, why wouldn't you want to be a part of local TV?
That's quite poetic.
Thank you.
Francis Finn, thank you for talking to the Radio Today programme.
It's a pleasure.
Let's have some news now. Here's Roy Martin.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics.
The full list of inductees to this year's Radio Academy Arkiva Hall of Fame has been announced. Frank Skinner, Pete Tong, Nihal, Victoria Derbyshire and Tony Butler will be joining the long list of people on the list. Congratulations to them all. They'll all get a free lunch at the Radio Academy Arkiva Hall of Fame lunch in Birmingham next week. Black Friday was exactly that for most of the presenters at Juice FM in Liverpool. They were told they won't be on air when Global rebrands it to Capital early next year. And Ofcom has marked 10 years of community radio in the UK. Over 200 stations since the first one, 103 The Eye, launched in 2005, have launched since. However, the sector hasn't been all good news. Over 24 stations have closed in the same period. The latest station to announce that it will cease broadcasting is Academy FM. And that station will go off air just before Christmas. That's the very latest from radiotoday.co.uk. I'm Roy Martin.
Broadcast Bionics, creators of Phonebox and Oasis, offer you elegantly integrated products and intelligent one-stop shopping for all your studio needs. Discover a full range of innovative studio products. Play out by Wide Orbit, Music Master Scheduling, Stirlitz, Newsboss, Larvo, Telos, Axia, Omnia, Digigram and Commotion. Visit bionics.co.uk today.
Radio Moment.
It's 3 years now since the call that changed radio across the world.
And we have been told that this phone number is the hospital where Kate Middleton is currently staying. Now, we thought we'd give it a call. We don't want to cause any trouble. Yeah. We don't want to stress her out because she's doing it tough.
Yep.
But I reckon we can maybe get her on the radio tonight.
Look, I don't know. I mean, everybody would be trying
this. Well, this is why I thought of a plan. We can't just ring up and go, hi, it's MC and Mel from the Summer 30. Can we chat to Kate?
The so-called prank call from Today FM in Australia to the London hospital where the Duchess of Cambridge was being treated for morning sickness. It happened 3 years ago this week and began the saga that ended in tragic circumstances and a changing attitude to radio.
I believe everyone in Australia wanted me dead. There was not a lot of support at that time. I wasn't frightened because I didn't care. I felt that I did deserve to die. I wasn't frightened. I felt that if I did walk down the street and someone attacked me, that I deserved that.
Mel Gregg. It's also 3 years now since BBC Radio News moved back to Broadcasting House. It meant that many familiar Radio 4 news programmes waved farewell to Studio S1 at Television Centre, where they've been based for about 9 years. But when they moved in there originally, they were pretty stroppy.
More than stroppy, we were furious. We were in Broadcasting House, the centre of London. Yeah, all the politicians would come in and, you know, there'd be queues of them outside in the corridors waiting to come sit down. Then we moved out here, and the politician didn't want to come. I think the nature of the programme changed a little bit.
Because listening, we heard things more down the line, joining us in the radio car.
Yeah, exactly. More radio car, more down the line, more, God forbid, telephone lines. Do you know what? I'll get into serious trouble saying this, but I think we have allowed standards to slip.
Farewell, Studio S1. Hello, New Broadcasting House. Happy birthday now to an industry great who probably could never have imagined being 40.
I actually wrote a book early this year, which was... It's meant to be a funny book, and I was interviewed by Emma Freud on Radio 4, and she just read it. She's one of the first people to read it, and she said, the thing I noticed about you is you don't learn from your mistakes. And I thought, it's quite an astute observation.
Richard admits that he has done this, and that he very much regrets it. However, I believe that Richard has not only let himself and the team on Blue Peter down, but he's also let all of you down badly.
Happy 40th to Richard Bacon from Blue Peter to Radio Nottingham, Capital, XFM and BBC 5 Live. The chap whose voice closed the Light programme before Radio 1 and Radio 2 emerged died this week 29 years ago.
That leaves me with a rather sad time to tell you. It's 3 minutes past 2 o'clock. And Paul will be back, and Tony will be on for the very first time in the morning. Roger Moffat this end, hoping that everything your end will be just as you would like it to be. With the time now at 2:03, good night to you, and good morning.
Roger Moffat from the BBC Light programme. He also played a huge role at Radio Hallam.
And now, with the time at 1 o'clock, we come to the end of broadcasting from Radio Hallam for today. We shall be back on the air again at 5 minutes to 5 with the early morning news. So on behalf of all of us here at Radio Hallam in Sheffield, may we wish you all a very good night.
Goodbye, Roger.
Good night to you.
29 years ago, Northamptonshire got its own proper station. It had been part of Hereward.
And as the Lord Lieutenant for Northamptonshire, I'm delighted to welcome Northamps 96 onto the air and wish it every success in entertaining and informing the people of Northamptonshire. I shall look forward to listening to your programmes.
I wonder just how much that chap did go on to listen to that station. And by the way, when you're using Vox Pops for a launch, choose carefully, won't you?
I like listening to local news, as long as it doesn't get too boring.
Northants 96, beginning this week in 86. It's now Heart. And this week, 2 years later...
You've listened for the sound of things to come. Now it's here. Music radio for the 90s. Power FM, with new people, new programmes and great music. While the others are talking, we're rocking 24 hours a day, every day, on 103.2.
Power FM.
Power FM launching as a sister to Ocean on the South Coast this week in 88. Later Galaxy, now Capital. 1925 now, and we're in America. At a WSM in Nashville, someone's just had the bright idea of a barn dance on the radio. It became the longest-running radio broadcast in American history.
Hello, folks. This is your checkerboard man, Eddie Hill, speaking for your hometown Purina dealer and saying welcome to the Grand Ole Opry. I mean, the Ryman Auditorium is busting at the seams with all your favorite Grand Ole Opry stars. And the checkerboard welcome mat is out for a big parcel of fine guest stars. It all happens right now, because right now we're saying, here's Carl Smith and Purina's Grand Ole Opry!
Hail now as the show that made country music famous. The Grand Ole Opry, beginning this week in 1925. The first episode starred a 77-year-old fiddler. So with XFM South Wales launching 8 years ago...
This new comfort in sound, this new beginning. So God show me magic. Thank the Lord we're Welsh.
The end of The Voice of Peace 22 years ago...
From somewhere in the Mediterranean...
Harriet Scott leaving Heart London 3 years ago...
Our guest on Heart Breakfast this morning spent last night with Toby Anstis. I'm sure he won't mind us telling you that.
And the complete separation between Radio 1 and Radio 2 for the first time this week 33 years ago... Those are this week's Radio Moments.
Radio Moments.
Thank you, David. Thank you, Roy Martin. Also, the good people at Knotts TV. This has been a TDC production. Thanks for listening. Ta-da.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics.